Before we can officially start.
Are we good to go? Do it.
Give it to.
All right, let's call the order the February.
Not yet.
You'll see on the top of the screen that we're live on YouTube.
I blame that on Mark.
Yep, ready to go.
Normally we would, but you know, people might want to see us, I guess. Go figure. Oh, and Jared, we haven't had any unsubmitted written comments for the meeting.
Okay, so do I even bring that up?
Yeah, you can. We're live now, so you can start.
Oh, we are live. Oh, I see it. Okay. Okay, we'll call to order the North Gateway Urban Renewal Advisory Board meeting. We'll start with roll call.
Jared Martin.
Here.
Mike White.
Here.
Barb Rush.
Here.
Nate Levine.
Here.
Mike Alley is excused. Pedro Moreno is absent. Mark Adams.
Here.
Brittany Davidson.
Here.
Dania Ballard is absent.
Excellent. Can I get a motion to approve our agenda for February 4th?
So moved.
Nate.
Second. Mark.
Looks like we have a first from Nate and a second from Mark. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right. And we need, can someone give me a motion to approve the minutes of November 5th, 2020?
So moved.
Second by Nate.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Is there any public comment, anyone on YouTube that would like to speak to the board?
No written comments have been submitted in advance of this meeting.
No one
can chime in, but they can submit written comments up to 5 p.m. the day before the meeting, and nothing had been submitted.
Okay. Oh, look, now I can see it all. All right. Well, our first action item is officer elections. So I would like to stay the chair. I would like to continue as long as you guys are okay with it. I just need someone to, I guess, want me. Is that right, Sarah?
I would motion to have Jared remain as chair or be elected chair, whatever the proper term is. Nominate him.
Looks like Brittany is a second.
A second thought now that my I'm unmuted, yes.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Mike. Is Mike here? Mike's here, right?
Yes, I am.
Hey, and did you?
Hey, did you so, yeah, so if anyone wanted to take the VP role, that's totally okay with me. But I will remain in this position if you guys need me here. Not a problem.
Okay.
Then I would nominate Mike to remain as vice president.
You have a second? Second from Nate?
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. So,
Jared, real quick.
Yeah.
To the record show, Pedro has joined the meeting. Good morning, Pedro.
Oh. Morning, Pedro. I think I see him there, but I don't see him.
There he is.
There he is. Okay. So, morning, Pedro. So, moving on, we'll action items 5B. Mostly why we're here is the discussion and recommendations for the 2021-22 budget priorities. And we were going to do this before, let's see, how do we want to do this, Sarah? Sorry, I got to look into it real quick.
Yeah, so.
Did you want to do your staff recommendations first?
Well, so typically the way that we do the budget, and first and foremost, let me introduce Callie. You have not met her yet, as some of you might be aware. Renee Frazier, who was our financial manager for urban development for the last 10 years, recently took the position as the chief financial officer with Business Oregon. So they are finishing a recruitment process, I believe, but Callie has been kind enough to do double duty. She's also one of our budget officers for the entire city, and she's also helping urban development with our budget process this year. So she's here today, and typically what we do is we walk through the budget. So what she would do is kind of walk through what you were provided, and I apologize if it was late when we got it to you, but we don't expect you to approve it today. And then at the same time, what we can do is talk about what those staff recommendations are, because you're going to see them in the draft budget that we provided to you. And we can talk those through, other things that the board would like to see. So that's typically the way that we do it. It's definitely a discussion process. But we typically kind of start with Callie kind of going through it, and then we'll answer questions and explain things along the way.
All right, go ahead, Callie.
Well, good morning, Chair Martin, members of the board. My name is Callie Leinenbach, and as Sarah told you, my main gig is in the budget office, senior fiscal analyst, but I'm also helping out in the interim in urban development. Sorry, I'm really distracted. There we go. Okay. thank you for getting that up. So we prepared for you today a draft budget, and we'll just go over that. Many projects are carryover projects, so they will look familiar to you. I know that sometimes there are questions about the indirect cost allocation plan. That is actually also called the support services charge, and that is to reimburse the city's general fund for services like finance and human resources and legal that the URA uses. And so that cost is actually going down year over year by about half. So that leaves more money for other things. Project coordination and support, that is just the reimbursement for urban development staff that spend time working in this URA. And the next three projects, number 3, 4, and 5, are all projects that you will see year over year: the grant program, the infrastructure improvement grant program, and then the affordable housing projects grant program. There was some new funding added to the recommended for adding to the rehabilitation grant program, $1 million. And also for the rehabilitation grant program, it was recommended that we combine the loan program and roll the funds that were remaining there into the rehabilitation grant program. It was about
$343,000. So as the board members, we haven't been utilizing the loan program. Really, we've just been floating that money over. We've really been trying to move to grants, just because that's really our goal at the end of the day. The loan program was created many years ago, and it made sense back when interest rates were very high and we could sort of provide a lower interest rate loan. But you know, in terms of trying to actually administer that program, it's very difficult. And ultimately we end up forgiving loans anyway, because that's just not the business that we want to be in. And so at this point, it just really made sense from a staff perspective, and that's one of the recommendations that you're seeing today, is just to take that $343,000 out of the loan program and just put it in the grants. Then it's there, then it's available for really what we want to use it for. The million that you're seeing in the rehabilitation grant program, that's part of, so what I had sent out in advance was our maximum indebtedness sort of master project updates that you guys always see that we've approved. And we had it built in that every year we would always fund $1 million into the grant program. So as you can see, carryover, we have about $1.6 million that we haven't used of those grant funds. We started at about $2.3 million this year. We do have some funds that have been committed. So, you know, we're at about 2.6 right now with how we would start on July 1st. I think it might end up being a little bit closer to 2.3. But once again, it just gives us those funds. COVID has had a huge hit in our programs. Obviously, COVID has had a huge hit in development work all around, you know, the city. But in talking to some other folks, it does sound like, you know, we're starting to get a few inquiries, and we are expecting, hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, summer, early fall, we think we're really going to start to see another uptick in activity. So we want to make sure that we're well funded and able to respond to those requests rather than having to come back to the board and then having to go back to the agency to maybe have funds available. So that's why we're recommending go ahead and continuing with that million. The infrastructure grant program, as you might recall, that's a program where it could fall under the regular grant program. We have separated out infrastructure and affordable housing to make sure that we just always had some funds set aside for those types of projects, since they tend to be more difficult, especially during the time when we had a wait list of people looking for grant funds. We had not utilized that program as of yet. We rolled over the 750 from last year into this year. At this point, we have not had any requests. So we are recommending rolling over the 750 to next year. We still have money set aside that was going to be a two-year sort of funded program. So as things pick up, we will have more money for the infrastructure grant program that we'll recommend at a future budget cycle. For the affordable housing grant, that was a three-year. So the first year, which was last year, the 300 did get used by the Salem Housing Authority for the Fisher Road project, which I know a lot of you were able to tour with me this summer. This year, we haven't used that 300. So once again, we're recommending going ahead and rolling that over into next year, and then we'll still have 300 set aside for a future budget year, once again, as things pick up. Or if we have a year where we're really seeing a lot of those types of projects, we can always come back to the board and ask to add some money into it because we still have it earmarked. It's just not in the budget per se, kind of in that master project list that we have where we were budgeting out how we could do all the projects that the board wanted. So just to kind of, you know, give you some context for why you're seeing what you're seeing on those three programs. And now I'll give back to Callie.
Thanks, Sarah. All the context that I don't know because I'm brand new at this. So the next project is also a carryover project, the Portland Road Bicycle and Pedestrian Path. And that was rebudgeted or recommended to be rebudgeted. The next project is the industrial site readiness. This is a new project that is recommended, and it's just to determine infrastructure needs for future site development in the urban renewal area.
So I'll jump in here on this one. So where this is kind of coming from is it kind of ties to our infrastructure. I think, you know, Jared and Mark may have some personal insight to sort of maybe why as staff we're thinking it might be good to put some money in towards this. What we've been finding, and I think the board's well aware, is a lot of sites, not only in North Gateway, but in Salem as a whole, that are left to develop have challenges. And a lot of the challenges, especially in North Gateway, really are tied to infrastructure. Whether it's they don't have infrastructure even there, whether the infrastructure that they need, whether it's water, sewer, electrical, those types of things, just are not compatible to the type of development that you would need to do to make it a successful project. And, you know, we had put in the grant program thinking, okay, if someone comes along, we've got some money to help them. And with COVID and everything sort of slowing down, it's given us a little time to sort of evaluate, you know, what's going on in the city as a whole, not just in this particular urban renewal area. And that's coming actually from an economic development strategic plan that we're in the process of almost being done updating. And that's citywide. And one of the recommendations that's most likely going to be coming out of that plan is that we need to do an evaluation, not just in this URA, probably in most of our URAs and in other portions of the city, to really look at these sites that we look at and say, hey, these could have great development potential, but what do we need to really develop them? And so it's really kind of this industrial site readiness process where, you know, whether it's we're bringing in interns, whether we're working with, you know, consultants, and we'd be working hand in hand most likely with private property owners, so they would have to be willing. But it's just to start gathering some of that information to understand what would we need to have on that site in order to really develop it. So kind of trying to get ahead of the game instead of someone purchasing the site and then realizing the problems that they may or may not have. And so that's kind of one of the things that we would like to do. We don't have a scope for it yet. We just kind of have an idea as to what it would look like. And so what we did is we're recommending a placeholder of $25,000. This would not be paid entirely through our URA. What we would be looking at is what is the scope, and then the percentage of each of those geographic areas is the portion of the total cost that everybody would end up paying. So this would be a collaborative sort of study that we would be looking at. But because we know it's coming, and because especially North Gateway, we think it could have a huge value to trying to help kind of promote some of these properties that we would like to see developed. And if we can give some information early on, that could definitely help the process. We wanted to go ahead and propose it as part of the budget for next year. So that's sort of why you're seeing it. Obviously, you know, knowing what Jared's been through with his parcel, knowing what Mark's been through with his parcel, you know, if there's something we can do to maybe work ahead of that as staff, we would like that opportunity maybe to try at least. So that's sort of why you're seeing it here today.
And that money is going to come out of the infrastructure improvement grant program.
So the thought, right? Because of, yes, so technically it's not technically, but because for our URA, and we really budgeted every dollar that we have coming in for the life of this URA as part of the maximum indebtedness process, if we add anything new, then I'm always looking to see, okay, where could that be coming out of if it's not something that we have a dollar line item for? So if we move ahead with this, what you would most likely see, unless we have cost savings somewhere, is next year, if we were to refill the infrastructure improvement grant program, so say the 750 went next year, so then we're here a year from now and I'm saying, okay, let's put more money into it, you would see 725 instead of 750. Now, 25,000, it may be a lot less than that. If it's savings, say it only ends up being $10,000, then that 15, in my sort of way of tracking things, would go back into the infrastructure grant program. So it would be, you know, 735,000 would be available. And then at that same time, the board could decide, hey, we want to actually make that a full 750, and we can move money around too. It's not ever set, and we can always go back either through the budget process or through the, through going to the agency. But because I know a lot of you realize, you know, we've tracked every project, every dollar comes from somewhere versus we have, say, 8 million, so let's just put 25,000 towards it. That's not how we're looking at it. So that's sort of where that 25 would come from. But once again, we could have cost savings in areas, and it may not cost a full $25,000 to do this. This is really just a placeholder, a comfortable placeholder for that particular project.
So the next project is also a new project. It's the 17th Street at Silverton Road Turn Lane installation.
Can we scroll down on that?
I'm not sure. It looks screen, like
Mark.
So.
Mark, are you screen sharing? You're muted.
Okay, yeah, I am screen sharing.
I did not realize it was your screen we were looking at. Can you scroll down? I could have put mine up real quick, too.
Oh, sure. I was just trying to be
Thank
smart
you.
Here.
Yeah, if you could scroll down, we're on number 8.
Yes.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
got
you so much. So it's just to improve the traffic flow and safety at that intersection. And that is a new project for $2.8 million, as recommended.
And this was in the list of projects that the board had recommended for when we did maximum indebtedness, and it was factored in to start this next fiscal year, which is why you're seeing it here. We'll have more details probably, I would assume, this summer, early fall. I haven't gotten a lot of the details yet from Public Works, but we would really just be starting sort of the design portion. And as you might remember, what this would do is if you're on Silverton Road and you're headed westbound right now and you want to turn left onto 17th, there's no traffic signal, there's nothing to allow you to really turn besides waiting for the flow of traffic. And so traffic is backing up through there, which, you know, we don't want to have happen. We want that traffic flow to keep moving, especially for, you know, businesses and development and things like that as we, you know, do more and more of that. So what this would do is it would actually widen the westbound lane of Silverton Road, and it would add that turn lane, and then we would be also installing a traffic signal there, so we'd be able to maintain the flow of traffic better throughout that area, so we won't be seeing a lot of the backups that we're having right now. So that's sort of the first kind of bigger infrastructure type project that we had on our list, and we'll be able to start that design work, like I said, this coming fiscal year.
Does that cut into any personal property like Zamora or anything like that?
At this point, from what I've seen, I can't say yes or no. I don't think so, but we have early drawings. So as we move through, we'll have a lot more information. Really what Public Works gives me when we're asking for something like this is they kind of go through, they do sort of a high level assessment, you know, design of what it could potentially be, because they're putting together a cost estimate. So once we kind of get down that path, we get a project manager assigned to it from Public Works, then we'll be having them come to the board and we'll be able to talk through all of those concerns and issues. I didn't see anything on the cost estimate that would make me think that we would be looking at having to do something like that. But once again, until we get into the details, those things can always come up. So I don't want to say no, but I also don't want to say that I'm seeing that there's going to be a lot of those same issues that we had when we were doing the.
So let me clarify, you're going to widen Silverton Road on the south side, where towards the parking lot from the fairgrounds, is that right? Or
yeah, it'll be the, if you're headed west and you're at the 17th Street interchange, we'll okay. be adding a left turn lane. How that works, I'm not 100% sure yet, because we don't have that detailed level of design.
Okay, so you would widen
you'd have to widen Silverton to create the left turn lane on Silverton Road. And then from Silverton, you'd be able to get in the left turn lane, and then you'd be able to turn onto 17th Street. So 17th Street won't need to be widened. It'll okay. be Silverton that we'll be working with.
Because wasn't there talk also about widening at Broadway or cutting over to the Paso railroad tracks when you to head north on Portland Road, I guess is what I'm saying.
You're thinking, so that's the Pine Street realignment project.
Oh, okay.
So that that's a separate project in your in one of the project update documents that I sent to the board. So that is still on. So I guess what I would say is the Pine Street realignment and sort of the Zamora site and that whole redevelopment, they're all kind of intertwined.
Right.
And one of the things that, so we finally have the Zamora site. We own it. We owned it as of, I think, October, November-ish.
Okay.
Which is, you know, one of the things I know the board's been waiting on, because we haven't been able to do anything until we officially own it. As you also know, we're currently allowing it to be used as an overnight
warming station, right, yeah.
Yeah, for no more than 18 months per DEQ. And so during this interim, now that we finally have control of the site, what our next step is, because what we need to figure out is if we can actually modify the existing railroad crossing that's right there, because that would impact how we would realign Pine Street. And then that would also determine how large of a development we can actually do with that Zamora site. Because if, depending on how we can realign the road, we might be able to vacate another road, which would actually give us more development potential. So what we're actually starting to do right now is we're gonna be engaging with Public Works, and we're gonna be bringing the railroad in to start having conversations to find out if we can realign that crossing to understand what our actual options are. So during these 18 months, what we're really gonna be figuring out is how big of a development can we do there, because that one piece is really gonna affect what the Pine Street realignment looks like and what the larger Zamora site development is gonna look like. We're also, and I think I mentioned this, you know, time kind of slips these days, but with Merit no longer being sort of our partner in some type of food hub concept as we had hoped for there, we had started early conversations with another group that has a history of not only running those food hubs, but also of doing the coaching and the mentoring that we were really hoping for. COVID hit, those conversations kind of, you know, slowed down a little bit, but I have been told that we are in the process of re-engaging with those folks. So we're kind of doing a couple different things. We're trying to sort of re-engage with those folks on the food hub concept to really talk through what the options might be. but at the same time having the conversations with the railroad so that we know what kind of land are we really working with, so we can come up with, you know, a really good development plan. And if we have an interim plan, a larger plan. So even though you don't see those items in the budget, you sort of do actually for Opportunity Fund, because those funds really go towards that work tied to sort of that larger Pine Street development. We do have a lot of things that are gonna be happening here in the next, you know, I would say really the next 12 months that we'll be updating the board on in terms of sort of that bigger picture development along with the other projects that we're working on. So that's one of those where you don't see it, but it's going to be happening. I was going to give you an update of that in the updates, but this is the perfect time to really do it as well.
Good. Thank you.
So Sarah, you touched on number 9, Opportunity Fund, so I'll skip over
I
that
did.
One.
I was trying to help you a little bit.
Thank you. So the next one is also a carryover project, environmental cleanup, just to help with redevelopment costs for environmental issues that developers might be having. And then number 12 is all the remaining funds that are committed to future projects. So just at a high level, I probably should have started with this, but the tax increment revenue has been going up steadily for the last few years, and we don't anticipate any dips in that at this point. It hasn't been tremendously, property taxes haven't been tremendously affected by COVID to this point, so we're not projecting any decrease there. And so fund balance has been staying fairly steady and growing a bit. Let's see if there's any other high level. I think that was the last thing I had, so thank you.
Thank you, Callie. So I guess I would say the first thing to talk about, does anyone have a problem with getting rid of the loan program and moving it over to the grant program?
No, I think it's...
Okay. that was the only one I kind of thought people might have something to say. I don't see a problem with it.
How does everybody feel about I know, you know, there's a few questions. How does the board feel about sort of the proposal for the industrial site readiness? Is that something that the board is comfortable with us proposing, and sort of what the goals are, knowing that once we have a scope and things like that, we'll be coming back to the board for sure too?
Well, I guess I'd question what that is exactly, because I know from my situation, you know, we already hire architects, you know, we work with the city on making sure everything is aligned properly and done the way it's supposed to be. So is that kind of a vision casting for a vacant property or potential property, or at what scope is that, I guess, is my question.
There we go. Sorry, I was muted and unmuted, and then I couldn't see my icon and know if I was muted or unmuted. And so we'll be working through this, but you know, this is something, and we do it with some of our other, so for instance, like I'm actually doing this right now out at our airport. I'm going through what we call an industrial site readiness. So we have some vacant land out there and we're the owners. So it's not like we have to partner with private parties, but we have a lot of different ideas as to what might work out there, but we don't actually know developmentally what's feasible. And so we're going through all of our different processes, whether, you know, for us in particular, you know, it's tied to what's the floodplain? Do we have any wetland issues? You know, what's the archaeology out there? Do we have any issues like that? You know, do we have any transportation things where it would require us widening a road if we did a certain type of development? So it's a little bit different, but it's so that we can get a better sense as to what can we develop out there. And then we know how to then reach out to certain developers, and or we might be able to do some of the infrastructure work ourselves in advance so that it's more prepped for a developer. What this would most likely do, and like I said, we're still sort of working out the kinks of what exactly the scope is going to look like, but we know we have parcels, especially in North Gateway, where once you sort of get into it, you realize you don't have the right water lines that you would need. You don't have the connection to the sewer that you might need. And what this could do is it could actually allow the property owners to know that in advance. So whether it's they can then go and get that work done, or as the city, if we know and the private property owners know, we can be having those conversations with Public Works if they're looking at doing different types of you know, projects in the future and things like that. So that's sort of kind of where we are with it. But like I said, it's still sort of, we're working out the details of it. And I think as we have a scope, you know, coming back to the board and getting, you know, feedback would be really, really nice. It's just one of those things where I know we've had property owners run into it. I know Nate's mentioned before that, you know, there's parcels that are just really hard to develop because they don't have, you know, the things in place that you would need. And water, sewer, all those things get so expensive. It also gives us the opportunity to have those conversations with property owners if they realize that, like, hey, we have a grant program. We can help you. Like, you know, just trying to work more with folks so that we can see some of those areas where we just have that vacant land where we can see some really, you know, great developments happen. So that's sort of where it's stemming from. But if you want more info, I know Annie just hopped on the meeting and she's spearheading our economic development strategy. And this is something that's kind of coming out of there. So I'll kind of let her jump in so that she can give you more insight on it. Good morning, Annie.
Good Thanks morning. Good morning, everyone. I think the only thing I would add is just that the first piece to this study is, and I don't know how many of you are aware, but the city's largest parcels of industrial land are out in kind of clustered out in Southeast Salem with the Mill Creek Corporate Center and the property that the city owns, the Salem Business Campus. And we're seeing a lot of interest in those and interest from folks that want to develop smaller parcels, you know, somewhere between 2 and 8 acres. So as that land develops, we're going to be looking for, you know, where is the city's next industrial land? And it's not likely that we would find, you know, 100-acre parcels. That's not, I think, the goal of this study, but it is, where can we, so it will start with a GIS analysis. And as Sarah mentioned, we're talking with our IT department about engaging an intern in this first and using a tool that that we developed, buildable lands, and a tool that is available on the website to look at industrial land and try to see first from a high level mapping perspective, geographic perspective, where do we have, including within North Gateway, places where we could assemble, you know, more, you know, up to 8-10 acres, right? And then talking with property owners, what are the plans for those properties and where can the URA be of assistance? So that's just a little bit more detail. And again, tied to ultimately, we will need to do another economic opportunities analysis that looks at industrial land within the city.
Okay, two questions. I assume other urban renewal areas are looking at a similar budget item?
We have been talking with, as we put the budget together, whether or not that's feasible. Right now, North Gateway has the largest land area in terms of undeveloped area, and so, you know, in West Salem we're somewhat constrained both by zoning and by vacant parcels or some key parcels, but yes, it's something we're talking about as we put the budget together in other areas.
Okay, and then the second one is really aimed more towards the local professional. Nate, does that kind of in conflict with the developer going out and doing the same kind of thing, advising people? Is the city trying to do what a private developer is already doing?
As I understand the budget item, the funding is there and would be available for somebody to ask for assistance to help identify issues regarding a potential piece of property. So my interpretation of it is that if I was interested in developing a piece of property, I could potentially go to the urban development resource for that area and ask for some assistance to mitigate the costs. The perspective as far as where those dollars would be spent is not with somebody like OTAC for design assistance, but would be more in the form of a civil engineer to identify physical issues like utilities and services.
Okay, I'm wondering, are we creating another department, or is this just an additional thing? Isn't a lot of that already done with urban development?
Honestly, no. If you take a look a couple years back, there was assistance out in Del Mar Street and a couple of other streets adjacent to Mitsubishi North, where utility lines, I want to say it was either storm drainage or sewer lines, needed to be added, and that's something that urban development funds assisted with creating a viable projects. So there was a potential use for the project, and there was a potential use for the property with a viable project, but it didn't have the necessary support elements in utilities in the street. So that added either an extension or an enlargement of the service lines.
Okay, good. Thank you. That helps explain things.
So are we, go ahead, Nate.
The one suggestion that I would have concerning a budget conversation is knowing some of the issues that exist for fire lines and water service lines out on the northern boundary of the urban development area. My suggestion is that the board might consider increasing the $25,000 to something a little larger, just because of the fact that we could easily see some serious development work go in.
Okay, so let me jump in on that, Nate. The $25,000, my understanding, is that we're taking that to kind of throw in with a group of having someone analyze where things like fire lines are needed. Then that way, when someone goes to develop, they can see that already. And then if they need help, they can come ask for the grant out of the infrastructure grant. The infrastructure grant is to help with the infrastructure to a property.
Correct. And that's my understanding of it from this morning.
Okay. So why would we need more than $25,000 if it's something that is just going to already be done for developers?
I think that the scope of work, if they take a look at the urban development area, the North Gateway urban development area, and take a look at service lines in the overall area, that it may be just a time factor that's going to chew through the $25,000 pretty quickly.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, we can, if the board wants, I mean, we can definitely increase that amount. Like I said, it's really right now pseudo coming from our kind of reserve of $750,000 that's tied to infrastructure type work. So, I mean, we can definitely increase, and then if we don't end up using it all, as I mentioned before, it would just revert back to that. So whether it's for the consultant piece or whether it's for the actual work piece, I mean, it'll still sort of go hand in hand. So, I mean, if there's a number that the board would prefer, I mean, we can definitely make that adjustment and bring it back to your March meeting.
And I'd be okay with that. Nate, you know more than me. What's a number you think is acceptable? Because if we don't spend it, it just goes back. But if it's not in our budget, we can't spend it.
Well, erring on the side of being
budget. You have to go back to the agency.
Erring on the side of being conservative, I would say 50,000. If I had a free hand, I would probably suggest something more than that. But since we're starting with an initial category, I'd rather be a little more conservative, but at least leave the door open.
I'm okay with that.
I can go with that. I'm also okay with, if we need more, then we go the, you know, move more over future wise. I understand that in budgeting, you're not allowed to spend more than you budgeted for. So either way works for me. You know, there's special exceptions to do things. So yeah, it's the same total budget. It's just where you're allocating it. So.
Okay. Well, on Aaron, on the side of caution, I guess I'd put a motion that we increase that, or recommend to increase that to 50,000.
Second by Nate.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye. Mark.
One opposed? Passes.
Okay. So we will make that amendment and bring it back to the March meeting. And then is there anything else on the budget that the board would like us to relook at or modify or change at this point? As we kind of outlined, we'll be moving the loan program into the rehabilitation lamp grant program. So that'll be an additional about 363,000 plus the million that we've kind of already scheduled to move over. We'll roll over our infrastructure grant 750. We'll roll over our 300K for the affordable housing program. Portland Road, that's one that we budgeted before maximum indebtedness. So we're just gonna keep kind of rolling it along until we're ready for that project. The update is in your project update document, but that's further out once we finish our property acquisition work. We're gonna change the industrial site readiness from 25 to 50,000. We've got 2.8 new money scheduled in to start design work for the left turn lane off of Silverton Road onto 17th Street. And we'll be bringing public works staff in to start talking about what that design is going to look like as soon as they get assigned to the project. Opportunity Fund will be rolling over, and that is funds to help us work with that larger Pine Street redevelopment site in the next 12 months as we start engaging with the railroad to talk about the realignment of Pine Street as well. Property acquisition will be rolling over, and that is just so that if an opportunity comes up, we don't miss out on it. As the board talked about, they don't want us to miss out on a great opportunity because we don't have money, so we're keeping it there, waiting for that great site to come up if it makes sense for us to go in and buy. And then the environmental cleanup will be rolling over, and that's as we're purchasing sites and we're finding issues, we can go in and get those cleaned up. And if for some reason we don't end up needing the funds, we can always turn that into something available for private property owners. And the committed to future projects is really our balance, keeping in mind we're trying to build up that balance because we have some very large projects that we're looking to be able to fund in the future years. So we're having to kind of build that back up since we had depleted it quite a ways before we got to maximum indebtedness. So that's why that number is a little bit higher, but we're gonna keep building it for a couple of years until we get to some of those larger projects like the Pine Street redevelopment and the realignment and some of those other ones that you see in that project update. So that's sort of what I have, but I just wanna make sure that everybody on the board that we're good with that. And if so, then I'll ask Mark, you can stop sharing your screen. And thank you so much for jumping in. Your privacy can become yours again. All right.
And so so do we vote on it now, or do you guys have to make that amendment? And we'll come.
Nope, we will make that amendment. And then we will bring back a budget to you at your March meeting. At that point in time, we'll have to approve or not approve, and whatever the board wants. But after that meeting, staff will be taking a recommendation up the chain, because that is when they are due. So do you have everything you need, Callie?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Yes, all right. Nice to meet you all. Thank you.
And then any other updates, Sarah, on anything?
Hi, I feel so bad. You guys have heard me talking all morning. I have a bunch of updates. I'm so sorry. But I wrote them out at least, so it should make it a little bit faster. First and foremost is something that I just mentioned to Jared, and I should have more info for you at our next meeting. It literally just happened. So you'll see it kind of probably maybe reflected in the budget rollover numbers, maybe not. One of the things that happened over the weekend is the sewer line between the building on the Zamora site that's holding the homeless shelter. It collapsed, and we own it, which means we need to fix it. You gotta love how that works. So this happened over the weekend. So our real estate person, who I know you guys have met, Clint, who manages the site, he does all of our property management as well. He's working with Public Works. They're trying to figure out, you know, the quickest, the best, you know, easiest solution for fixing. There's a little bit of issues about ownership of its city or state because it's connected to the fairgrounds, I guess. So they're working out a bunch of those things right now. So we will be fixing it. The URA will be paying for it. It will most likely be coming out of our 750 grant program for infrastructure work. But just so you're aware, that is happening. I literally have no idea cost anything. We're like 48 hours in. But I did just want to make everybody aware that had happened. And I am hopeful that we'll have more information at our March meeting in terms of what that cost was, and whatnot, and any details surrounding it. So that's sort of just one of those just happened, the joys of property ownership. So there's that, which is not so great. The first thing, though, that I wanted to mention besides that is, and Jared, feel free to jump in here. We have had a board member choose to not continue on with the board. Do you want to kind of share that, Jared?
Yeah, I spoke with Frank yesterday, day before, and he has decided he no longer wants to be on the board. I guess he's no longer associated with the neighborhood association or anything else. So he just decided to step down and not be on the board. And then I've also reached out to Dania because we haven't seen her in forever, and I still haven't heard back. So so right now we have, what, two spots open?
Yeah, so we have two vacancies. So if anybody knows someone who would be interested in joining our board, technically both of the positions that are open are considered residential. However, you can be within the URA or you can live close to, in proximity. So you don't have to be right within the urban renewal area. So you can apply on the website. If you know anyone, definitely, you know, we're looking for a couple of good people. So I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of that, or I'm happy to send you the link where folks can apply as well. Just reach out to me. We don't, because I've gotten this question, we don't have a date as for when we're going to be able to have in-person board meetings yet. The city is still closed to the public. I think there's a hope that the city would be able to maybe start opening back up, you know, this summer. It's all tied to the vaccines. So once we hear something, I'll be sure to let y'all know. But, you know, once again, thank you for your patience and sort of our virtual meeting world that we're having. Included in your packet was the Urban Development Annual Report. Usually I give this to you in hard copy, but this year you got it electronically. It's just sort of an overview of all of kind of our urban renewal areas, but I wanted to point out that the cover this year is of the new cheese shop on Portland Road. So that was a great kind of a great publicity for them. So check it out when you have time. I've gotten a few questions about what's going on with the overnight shelter on Portland Road. So I reached out to Gretchen Bennett, and she had shared with me that right now the overnight shelter is operating full most nights. And initially they had planned that shelter would be specific to folks that were 65 and older with some sort of health conditions. And kind of prior to opening up, Arches, who's managing the site, was actually able to get some grant money specific for putting folks in hotels. So they were actually able to move that group into hotels, which is a much safer option for them. And so this shelter has become more of a general sort of shelter for folks. They have not activated. I know she'd mentioned that there might be some on-site tent camping or car camping, and they haven't activated any of that. Right now it's only been in
the shelter. So she, I think, is going to probably come to a future meeting, maybe in March, and just give an update to everybody about how it's going. And if there's any questions or concerns, make sure she's available to answer those, since it is something new in our area.
And the sign? We're supposed to be seeing a sign soon?
A sign.
Portland Road sign. Welcome
to... I haven't gotten to that one yet, but yes.
Oh, sorry.
That's number 7. I wrote them out to make it easier. I'm on number 4. I have another homeless update, and then we'll jump over to that one. This is not in the URA, but I'm assuming you've heard a lot about it. The State Fairgrounds is going to be opening a homeless shelter temporarily. It's going to offer a place for people to be day and night for 100 residents. They have about 30,000 square feet available in their pavilion. That will not be intermixing with the area in which they are giving the vaccines. And then in addition to sort of having the shelter space, they'll also be providing 24/7 security, custodial services, counseling, help to find permanent housing, support services, things like that. But because it's close and it's out there, I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware. And once again, that's something else that Gretchen is working on. So when she comes to a future meeting, if there's any questions, she can answer those as well. Or you can always, you know, ask me, and I'm happy to check in with her. I have a quick update on personal protective equipment. So if you have a business or you know somebody that has a business and you need masks or gloves or wipes, we have some that are available for free. We've partnered with a variety of other groups. So as long as your business is based in Oregon and you have less than 100 employees, you can sign up online and then you can actually just pick up your supplies at the chamber. So if that's something that you are interested in, or if you know someone and you would like to forward them that information, just let me know and I'm happy to forward you the link where you just go online and fill out your forms for what you need. And it's free of charge. So I definitely want to try and get that out to folks. So that is currently available. And last but not least, the Welcome to Salem Portland Road monument sign that we were getting updates on kind of before COVID. It sounds like they have narrowed down a final design. Our parks folks have taken over management of that project. And so right now they are working through getting a permit. So basically to remove the sign and put it back in, the type of permit they need doesn't technically exist. So they're working on a code amendment in order to get that permit. And then as soon as they have that, the new project manager on point for it would like to come to the next board meeting when the timing works out to share what the design is going to be and just to update the board. Obviously, it's not in the URA and we're not contributing funds, but because it does tie into a lot of the work that everyone's been doing, they wanted to keep the board involved. So you'll be seeing that on the agenda. I'm hopeful for later this spring, we'll be seeing Robert come in and provide an update to us. So. Those are all of the updates I have. If there's any questions or anything else, please let me know. And it looks like Annie had just chimed in and said that a notice is being added to the city's website about the free PPE as well. But I also have a link, so either way.
Well, excellent. Thanks for the update. Anybody got anything else? See a bunch of no's. Well, let's adjourn. We'll see you guys in, what's next month? March. See you in March. We'll vote on the budget.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great day.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.